Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm glad you could join me for this Friday broadcast. And with the Lord's help, we will conclude this message on the affliction of Joseph. And we were looking this week at the book of Amos, finding great similarities and relevance for the times in which we are now living, the condition of America, the condition of much of the church, which has become apostate. And beloved, this may not be your heart condition, but God is grieved. He is waiting for the prodigals to return, those that are backslid, those that once knew the Father, just like the what we call the prodigal son. He knew the love of the Father's household, but he left. He wanted to do his thing. And God is patient and long-suffering. He wants to welcome with joyous arms those that have gone their own way without condemnation, and kills the fatted calf and gives him a fine robe and a ring. And beloved, that's the heart of the Father. He does not willingly afflict the sons of man. But if judgments come, it is to get man's attention that they can return to God. We saw that happen with 9/11. I mean, our churches were filled to capacity for a few weeks. It definitely had a response because we had never experienced anything like that before on American soil. So, beloved, we are an end-time church. Those of us who are alive today who have made Jesus not only Savior but Lord of our lives, you know, God has never left Himself without a witness. We think of that marvelous chapter in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, where it speaks of those who through faith subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Women receiving their dead back to life. But others, as you go on, some people, we just want to stop there. But in verse 36, it talks about of the trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Why? Because God, having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. He's just got one family, beloved. He wants us all to receive at the same time. Praise God. But, beloved, God is raising up people today who are going to be bold witnesses for the Lord. And we're not chosen, beloved, because we're wise, because we're strong, because we are fit instruments for the exhibition of His wisdom and power. No, He's chosen the foolish things of this world and the weak things to confound the wise and the mighty. I mean, these words that I've been sharing with you all week, they were given to a guy who was a shepherd. He was not a prophet. He wasn't the son of a prophet, but he was a herdsman, a farmer, if you will. He was a gatherer of wild figs. And beloved, God is going to use not just people in ministry, not those who are, you know, the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist. He's going to use the members of His body in this end time, because too often we tend to just idolize those who are in ministry. But God, that's the point of fivefold ministry, to equip the saints that they can do the work of the ministry. And of course, we have to expect opposition. Let me read about Amaziah. Amos had opposition from Amaziah, who was a priest at Bethel. He misrepresented Amos and his message to the king, and then he hypocritically asked him to flee to the land of Judah. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. In other words, just get out of here and go home, and then you prophesy all you want. And Amos says, he responds, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He wasn't anybody in terms of what recognized priesthood or religious authority, but God used him. And, you know, there are a lot of modern priesthood today, if you will, that persecute the true believers, the true ministers, those who are speaking the word of the Lord. And beloved, we have to expect opposition. The human heart, in its natural state, is at enmity with spiritual things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. He just can't receive them. And we know from the Word of God, if any man will live godly, he must suffer persecution. So now there is a message from the Lord. And he speaks in subsequent verses to Amos, and there is a plumb line that he uses as an instrument of testing. Chapter 7, verse 7 says, Thus he shewed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. And God, that plumb line, if you will, is the same standard today. It is the Word of God. And if we cannot measure up, then God will bring judgment. Of course, none of us can be absolutely perfect, but our heart can be perfect. We can desire to do the right thing. And so we see that plumb line in the hand of God was a symbol, if you will, of his righteous judgment. He had come through his prophet to measure the high places and the sanctuaries in Israel, and he was exposing their delinquency, their wickedness. And Amos was not just going on his own decision, on a whim, but he was delivering God's message. And, you know, we are not to show forth our gifts, but realize if God is speaking through us, if he's giving a message, it's his message. We cannot manufacture something to please people. And that's why, you know, on this broadcast, I cover a lot of different basis, a lot of different areas from the Old Covenant, from the New Testament, and just for, it's the whole Word. We have to take the entirety of God's Word. His character has not changed. He has dealt differently in different dispensations, but his character has not changed. He is a righteous God. Be holy, for I am holy. That has not changed under the new covenant. And remember, as he spoke to the Laodicean church, he had much to say against them. And how could, so often, that is also a picture, as we read that, of the end time church. He says, I wish you really were hot or cold. You're lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Beloved, the church in this nation has been so blessed with so much in the way of anything that pertains to the gospel. We have Bibles, all kinds of translations. We have Christian bookstores. We've got untold radio broadcasts, television telecasts that proclaim the message of God. We have been so blessed. I remember years ago we had a brother pastor from Nigeria when we were having church at the Oakland Airport Hilton, and he came and he said, you Americans, he said, you have too much. You have too much other nations of the world. Oh my goodness, I have read recently of some of the of what is happening to God's people, the secret saints, if you will, in the Middle East, in Iraq. I mean, it would break your heart, the things they are suffering, and it makes you ashamed of the boldness of their, regardless of the suffering, the exclusion from family, what they have to endure for the cause of Christ. Even as I speak, there are those who are losing their lives now for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is a call to action. God is raising up a tabernacle of David. And let me now, as we bring this message to a close, go to chapter 9, verse 1. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. We see the Lord standing on the altar. He's away from the mercy seat, and he's basically prohibiting the sacrifice of the burnt offerings. He says, break down the door as a sign that he is going from it and forsaking it. But I want to read now verses 11 through 15. It ends on a bright note. In that day, the days in which we're living, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth these things. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Verse 15, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord. Praise God. He is planting his people Israel. He is planting the church. Beloved, we're living in a glorious hour. Even though there's darkness upon the earth and gross darkness of the people, the glory of God is rising upon the true church, the remnant, those who will love the Lord above all things and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love their lives, not even unto death. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown. It's been a privilege to minister. It's been a sobering word, but it is the word of the Lord. May we pray for one another. May we pray for our nation as never before. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.